Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Praise God. Well, we are talking about our love affair with Jesus, our love affair with God. Are we falling more in love with Him? Well, if we're doing things right, that's exactly what's happening. If we're praying right, that's exactly what's happening. If we're doing church right, that's exactly what's happening. We're falling more in love with Him. If we're not falling more affectionately, even romantically, in love with Jesus, in love with God, if we're not growing in love, we're doing things wrong. And we're not growing spiritually. Like I've said, you could be growing intellectually in the knowledge of the scriptures and becoming real churchy. But if you're not growing in love, you're not growing spiritually. And we need to be growing spiritually. How do you really know you're growing spiritually? Check up on your love life. How's your love affair doing with the Lord? Because that's what He's created us for. He's created us to be lovers of God. Lovers of God, not lovers of money, not lovers of pleasure, but lovers of Him. Lovers of Him. And we looked at over there in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. It says in the King James Version, Old King James, we'll say. It says, "For we do not have a high priest," talking about Jesus, "who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." Jesus is God. God is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Another translation says the feelings of our weaknesses. He feels when we're weak. He feels it when we're hurting. He's touched by that. So God isn't just some kind of legalistic God. God is a very touchy-feely God. He's a very touchy-feely God. God feels your pain when you're experiencing pain. That's why He wants you healed so much. When you understand that, healing comes easy to receive. Isaiah 63, verse 9, it says, "In all their affliction, He was afflicted." And then it says, "In His love and in His pity, He redeemed them." That word pity, again, means compassion. Compassion. That's God's passion for mankind, is His compassion for us. God is very compassionate towards us, and therefore He's very passionate for us. But He's afflicted in all our affliction. Again, touched with the feelings of our infirmities, with our weaknesses. And then we looked at Ephesians 4, 30, and it says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit." So the Holy Spirit can be grieved. And that's a New Testament scripture, but we also looked at several of the Psalms. And we saw that in several Psalms, it talked about how the children of Israel grieved Him in the desert. Grieved Him. And that word grieved means to wound, to hurt. So God is hurt when we don't believe Him, when we don't trust Him, when we make life hard on ourselves. It's hard on God. When you make life hard on yourself, it's hard on God from an emotional standpoint. He has a soul, and it talks about that in the Word of God. It talks about the children of Israel. They vexed His soul. That's the area of our emotions. So God emotionally feels for us when we're making things hard for ourselves. That's why He wants to teach us so much. That's why He wants to lead us into victory. Because when we're shouting and we're happy, it's affecting Him. Your praises tonight, if you were sincere, which I'm sure you are, affects God emotionally. It moves Him. It touches Him. Got to understand this about Him. God is seeking intimacy with us, as we have talked about. The first commandment that He has given us, and it's the greatest commandment, most important commandment, and that if we just hang on and get this one commandment, it fulfills all the law and all the commandments. It's a big commandment. It's the most important thing. And what is it? That we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. That's what he's created us for. And so when we've got that, we are fulfilling our divine purpose. We're fulfilling the very reason why God created us, to love him, to receive love from him, and to love him, to return the love back to him. It's the whole purpose of the law and the commandments, that we become greater lovers of God. Whole purpose. Why do we get in the Word? Why does God want you in his Word? So you can learn of him, learn of his love for you, and then what's going to happen? You're going to become a greater lover of him. That's what's supposed to happen, because the Bible says in 1 John that we love him because he first loved us. So as we're learning of his love for us, his affectionate love for us, not just his mechanical love, but his affectionate love for us. As we're learning of his affectionate love for us, we're growing more affectionately in love with him. That's the purpose of all the law and all the commandments. So we're not just looking to believe the letter of the word. We believe in the lover who gave us the word. See, look past the promises to the love that is behind those promises. The purpose for the promises in our life is love, because God so loves us. So don't just want him for what he can do for you, but love him for who he is to you. He is God, and he is our everything. And he wants to be solely your peace and your joy. He wants to be your peace and joy, so much so that nothing else can ruffle your feathers. Nothing else can get you depressed or down. Whenever we find ourselves getting frustrated, angry, mad at ourselves, mad at other people, and down and depressed about our life, we are not perfect in love. We're not living for the purpose by which we've been created. To love. We've lost sight of it all. And we got to shake ourselves and say, Lord, you know, no matter what's going on, I got you. No matter what happens in life, I got you. And as long as I got you, it's going to be all right. Everything's just fine. If I got you loving me, I'm happy. In fact, I'm excited. I'm excited about getting up in the morning. I'm excited about going to work. I'm excited about doing whatever it is I'm going to go out and do. I'm excited because I have you. And you are the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Why do you say that right now? Say, Lord. Come on, look up to him. Say, Lord, you are the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. You are my everything. You are my peace and my joy. It's you that makes me smile. It's you that makes me happy. I am so happy that I have you in me. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He himself has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. I will never. As long as we have that promise, we can get through anything. I said we can get through anything. We can overcome anything. As long as we know the Lord loves you. Romans 8 is what I just thought of. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Hallelujah. As long as you know this, you're going to be all right. You'll never have another bad day again. I didn't say bad things won't try to happen. Bad things won't go on. But you won't have a bad day yet. Why? Because it's the day the Lord has made. And he's right there with you. And no matter what's going on, as long as you're not separated from his, you might be separated from people. You might be separated from all kinds of things. But as long as they're not separated from Him, we're not in a hopeless state. I said, it can get tough in the flesh, but we're not in a hopeless state. Right? There's still the joy. No matter how tough it gets in the flesh, we still got this on the inside. I am connected to the love of God. I'm connected to the love of God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we're killed all day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice what he keeps talking about. Keeps talking about that love of God. God's love for us. And he says, it don't matter what kind of tribulation you're dealing with. It don't matter what kind of distressful situation you're dealing with. He's not denying that there are distressful situations. And no, you can be dealing with famine. That's pretty that's a desperate situation. Famine. Persecution can get rough. He said, but neither principalities nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, no devil, no demon, nothing in the depths, nothing in the heights, nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And as long as we know that, we are what? We are what? More than conquerors. How many ever heard that before about being more than conquerors? How many people knew that it was directly connected to the love of God? See, we got that part. We are more than conquerors if you understand the love of God. If you understand God's love for you, if you understand nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, then you are. You will live like, no matter what kind of distressful, terrible situation surrounds you, you will be in those situations what? Huh? More than conquerors. Hallelujah. Praise God. In other words, we're not just going to get through this thing. We're going to more than clean up. We're going to more than clean up this situation. Praise God. We're going to be more than all right because we're more. Because we're more than conquerors. So it's keeping our focus on the love of God. Since getting saved, we know it was the love of God that brought us to salvation. It was a revelation of His love for us that caused us to get saved. We fell in love with Him. Whether you realize it or not, that's what happened to your spirit. Oh. Now, we need to keep growing in this love. I mean, if we started out in love with Him, what should we be like now? Intoxicated with love. Intoxicated with the love of God. Overcome is what I'm talking about. Just walk around and just, yes, Jesus loves me. Right? It don't matter what kind of stuff's going on around you. Yes, Jesus loves me. Hallelujah. It absorbs all the pain. Takes away all the pressure. Oh, man. We should be so comfortably numb. So comfortably numb. Because we are comfortably loved, yeah. Somebody say, I'm comfortably loved. Therefore, we're comfortably numb. See, this is how it should be. We really should be this way. If we're growing correctly. If we're growing in the love of God, which is the whole purpose for our being created, whole purpose for us being saved. But sadly, so many folks have gotten distracted from their purpose. They've lost sight. And I'm talking about Christians. So many have lost sight of the purpose of why they were created, what they were created for, why they were saved. To be affectionate, intimate worshipers, lovers of God. That's our very purpose. Everything we do in life, even in serving the Lord, it's all about love. It should be making us go in deeper and deeper into love. But like we looked at last time, over there in Revelations chapter 2, the church at Ephesus, Jesus commended them for all their wonderful works. They had a fantastic church. Great things, great outreaches, ministries taking place, good sound doctrine, all kinds of great things. But then he said, in verse 4, he said, but I have this one thing. Nevertheless, I have this one thing against you, and that is you have left your first love. You have left your first what? You've left your first love. What do you mean first love? Because that's the first thing that happened when you got born again. When you got born again, you fell in love with Jesus. He's your first love. First real love. Not flesh love. Real love. It's a big difference between fleshly, worldly love and God's love. Big difference. So he's our first real love. And here he says to the church, you're doing all these great things, but you've left your love for me. Now your love is in your serving. Your love is in your ministry. Your love is in what you're doing for me. But God's more interested in you loving him than serving him and working for him. He wants you, number one, loving him. And everything we do in life needs to be an overflow of that love affair with God. That's what it's supposed to be all about. And then he says this amazing thing. He says, repent, repent, get back to your first works of worshiping and loving me, or else I'm going to remove your lampstand, which was the ministry, which represents the church, the lampstand that holds up the light. He said, I'm going to remove your lampstand from you. And he said, he's going to do it quickly. I'm going to take it away. Why? Because he's jealous. He's a jealous God. We got plenty of scripture that talks about the jealousy of God. He's a jealous God. James in the New Testament, for one, other scriptures talks about that God, his spirit, yearns jealously for us when we are in love with other things. When we're in love with the world, his spirit, what? Yearns jealously. It hurts him. So he says, hey, it's great what you guys are doing, but where are you going? Where are you going? And I'm sure they had, quote, unquote, worship services, right? I'm sure they had the worship services going on in this great church. I'm sure they had a lot of prayer going on. How could you possibly have left your first love while you're worshiping and praying? Because if it's all about ministry, if it's all about doing it for others, then with your mouth you honor him, and with your programs you honor him, but your heart is far from him. People are praying, people are praising, people are doing all these things, but their heart's not really there. Their hearts aren't really in love with him. They're not really embracing him with their spirit, with their soul, with their mind, with their body, as they worship, as they pray. So he says, if you don't get back to that, get back to doing it for me, to me, because of me, Stop doing it because it makes you feel good. It makes me feel good reaching out and helping people. That's nice. But it should be driving, it should be causing you to come becoming closer and closer to me. And he says, if you don't get back to me, then no matter how good all this is, I'm going to have to knock it down. Judgment will cause ministries to collapse and fall if people don't return back to him, back to their first love. They just built a big tower of Babel. We don't want to be a bunch of babblers. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, amen. Praise God, thank you, Lord. You better get out of my seat. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. You know, we can go, you can do that mindlessly. You know, you hang around a church long enough, you can do all that mindlessly. You can pray in tongue mindlessly. You can pray mindlessly. You can have your mind on the flesh while doing all these things that appear to be spiritual. Man, we got to get back to him. Go deeper into him. I mean, if you're with him, let's go deeper. We can all go deeper, can't we? That's our goal. That's what we want. So he said he'd remove that in order to have them. God wants you more than he wants your works. God wants you more than he wants your service. God wants you. Say this. Say, God wants me. Yeah, yeah. He doesn't just want what you can do for him. He wants you. God doesn't just want you to bear fruit. He wants you. And if he has you, you will bear fruit. If you're not producing the fruit really isn't the problem. The problem is he doesn't have you. And then we got to watch out for having things that appear to be very fruitful, but it's not coming because we're abiding in him. We want to make sure we're abiding in him. What God gives us to do, we don't do for him, but we do it in him. Say that again. What God gives us to do, we don't do for him, we do it in him. In him. Just like a vine, just like a branch is in a vine. It is in that vine, and therefore, what happens? Fruit comes forth. So our doing is to be the result of being in him. So a lot of times we get to focusing on the doing. What are we doing? What are we not doing? You know, we got to do more. We got to do this. We got to do that. Man, I'm not really getting anything done. I don't feel like I'm doing anything. I just feel like I'm not doing anything. I feel so unproductive. Don't focus in on the doing, because the more you focus in on the doing, the more depressed you're going to get, the more in darkness you're going to fall. Focus in on the being. The being in him. Because the doing will follow. The doing will flow. The doing will flow if we are abiding in him. I got to do something. God, that's nice. That's nice. I'm glad your spirit's there. You got born again. How about your soul? How about your mind? How about your strength? Didn't he say those things as well? You shall love the Lord your God with all your spirit, right? Heart, soul, mind, strength. That's the focus. It's our being in him. So it's not about what I can do for him. You never judge yourself by how much you're doing for him. Because if you even have that mindset of doing for him, you're missing it. I'm just doing in him. I'm doing what I do in him. In him. That's my joy. That's my peace. It's not in the works of my hands. It's in him. It's in the vine that I'm in, that I'm clinging to. Our ministry, whatever that might be, should be taking us deeper into him. A ministry? What about ministry? Well, Ephesians says you're all being equipped and trained for the work of the ministry. It's all about serving the Lord. What is your ministry? That's that thing that overflows out of you and touches people, brings the gospel to people. What is ministry? That's that thing that overflows out of you and touches people and preaches the gospel, shares the good news with others. You got a ministry. I said, you got a ministry. Man, let's get so deep into him that we don't fear man anymore. And we open our mouth and not sharing the good news. I just have such a hard time. I understand. Don't focus in on getting good at sharing the good news. Focus on getting so head over heels over him. Hey, you got to tell somebody about it. People look at you and go, why do you look that way? I'm in love. And you just share the good news with people. You say, well, man, I just got it so good. God's been so good to me. I got to tell you. You got a minute? You got a minute? Man, back in 1932, I was a mess. Until Jesus walked into my life. And man, he cleaned, he picked me up. He washed me off. He turned me around. He set my feet on a rock. Come on! He's blessed me. He himself said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He's with me always. I'm telling you, God loves me. He loves you too. And he wants you to know him. He wants you to experience him. Just like I've experienced him. He wants you to experience him. And they say you're just sharing the good news. But you see, you're focusing on, what do I say? What do I say? See, you're over in the letter. You're missing the whole thing. It's an overflow of love. It's an overflow of love. You want to talk about him. And that perfect love casts out fear. It just casts out fear. There's no fear in love. Why are we fearing? We're not perfect in love. Why not? Because we're not focused on love. We're focused in on fearing. We're focusing on what we're fearing. Focus in on love. Focus in on love, and it'll drive out the fear. And then you could just share the good news with people. Just let them know how good Jesus is. How good Jesus is. He's so good. Can I tell you some more about him? Yeah, that's what you say to people. That's what I'm talking about. So you have a ministry. I said you have a ministry. It's that thing that overflows out of your life and tells people about Jesus and spreads the good news, spreads the gospel. That's your ministry. Let it overflow out of you. That's what you're being equipped for tonight. Praise God. How's it accomplished? By focusing on fulfilling our ministry? No, it's focused in on him. Focused in on loving him. Our work. Whatever your work might be in life, whatever your occupation is in life, would be fulfilling and not draining. If you were doing it right. If you were working right. If you got up in the morning. You lived out your day correctly. Then what you're doing would not be draining you. But it would be full. Filling you. That's what it would be doing to you. Why? Because if you're in love with him. Which is the reason for living. It's what we're living for. It's what we're looking for. We want to grow in this love. So when we go out into our workplace in love with God at the forefront, Jesus at the forefront of what we're doing, him behind us, him motivating what we're doing in life, what's going to be happening? We're going to be going deeper into him. And as you go deeper into him, he is filling you, fulfilling you in what you do in life. Work should not be something that we're just giving out. Work should be filling us up. It should be filling us up. See, because as we're giving out, all we're doing is making the way for more to come in. Because what we're doing is unto him and by him. We're doing it abiding in him. So as we're giving, we're getting filled. This is not draining to me at all what I'm doing. This is filling me. This is filling me. But not just preaching the gospel. Anything we do in life. If we're doing it in him, then he is filling us as we're doing what we're doing. So our doing is just causing the water to flow through the pipe. And that's refreshing. Right? That's better than having stagnant water. Get that water flow. Water's flowing. Living water I'm talking about. I'm talking about the living love of God. Get that love flowing. It's been poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit. Now, turn on the valve. Open the valve. And begin to do what you do by the love of God. Because of the love of God. And what's going to happen? Love is going to flow through you. So love's going to come into you. So as you're giving, you're getting filled. So it's not draining. If work is draining, it's because you're not doing your work in him. You're doing your work in yourself. See, somebody say it with me. Say, it's all about love.
It's all about love.
Say it again.
It's all about love.
Everything I do is all about love. I do it because of love. I do it for love. In love. I am in love. There's a lot of scriptures in the Word of God that talk about being in him, in Christ. How do you know you're in him? What you're doing is in him. Because you're in love. Because he is love. So in him. Some people have a little tough time. We have a little mini book in the back, you know, in our bookstore called In Him. And you should get it, especially after tonight. If you already have it, you need to pick it up and look at it. And look at all these scriptures that talk about in him and change it to in love. Because him is love. God is love. Christ is love. So we do what we do in love. Hallelujah. We're in love. That's what it's all about. We're in him. What do you mean? In love. I'm in love. And if you do what you do in love, then it's going to be fulfilling. And you're going to find yourself not being drained and becoming empty by the end of the day, but you're going to find yourself more full no matter what you're doing. No matter what you're doing. Isn't that what Jesus said over in John 4? Verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his what? Work. Work. Work is food to your spirit, soul, mind, and body when you're doing it in love. When you're doing it in him. Notice Jesus wasn't doing these things in himself. He tells you right here, it was all about the Father. To do the will of him. Not my own will, do the will of him. He sent me. He woke me up this morning. He got me out of the bed. He's helping me through this day. It's all for him. It's all in him. It's all about him. That's what Jesus is saying here. My food is to do the will of him, who sent me. What do you do with food? Do you throw it up? If you throw it up, something's wrong. Food isn't made to be thrown up, is it? Nobody prepares a meal so you can throw it up. Do they? Does anybody prepare a meal for you to spit it out? Fling it at somebody? What do you do with food? You eat it. What happens when you eat something? Where does it go? On the floor? And the people around you? Sometimes. Where's it supposed to go? in you. He's working, laboring, giving out. But yet he says, my work is feeding me. It's putting something in me. It's putting something in me. Do you see it? It's feeding them. It's filling them. That's what our work is supposed to be doing to us, if we're doing it right. How many people are doing their work wrong? Don't have to raise your hand. Don't worry about it. It's between you and God. Giving out allows more in. That's the attitude. Giving out allows more in. That's all it's doing. As we're giving out, it's just allowing more in. The greater the demand on us, the greater the supply from him. Man, such a demand. He demands so much of me. Get excited. The greater the demand of man, the greater the supply from God. The more that's coming in. The more you give out, the more's coming in. That's how it is when our focus is on him. Being in love with him. Doing it in him. Not by our might, not by our power, but by his love. By the love of his spirit. Motivating us. How many people are motivated by love? Yes, love needs to be what's motivating us. People get their eyes, unfortunately, on serving God. Or even the promises of God. And get their eyes off God. This is a very common problem. It's a very common problem. If your work isn't causing spiritual growth, if what you're doing isn't causing spiritual growth or growing up in love, then you're not serving. You're slaving. Well, I'm just slaving over this stove. Well, we know what you're doing is not being done in love. What you're doing is being done in selfishness and in the flesh. I'm doing it for the family. No, you're doing it for yourself. And the family is for yourself. Everything is about yourself. I don't want to be slaving. I want to be serving. How about you? So if your work isn't causing you to grow spiritually in love, you're working wrong. You're working all wrong. So we need to get that corrected. With your eyes on him, you would be learning while you're working. You'd be maturing every day while you're working. Every day would be just like a workout, a spiritual workout, where you're exercising love. We got to get excited about exercising love. You get out there in the world, and people aren't going to treat you nice. People aren't going to treat you right. Things are going to go wrong. You're living in a cursed earth. You're living in a demon-possessed world. You're going to have plenty of opportunity to exercise love. Hallelujah. That's exciting. Why? Because we love love. Because we love love and we want to grow in love. And so, you know, if we work with our motive being love, if we're working in love with God, we're getting fed. We're getting fed. We're getting good food, praise God. We're getting the love of God. God's love, the love of his spirit is filling us. Well, you don't want to just eat and not work out. So thank God for some adversity. Right? You just don't want to be fat in love. I mean, it's nice, but thank God for adversity. You get opportunities to to exercise love. Praise God. You exercise love, it'll burn off the fat. It'll burn off the selfish flesh. Yeah. Burn off the selfish flesh. make you less selfish. If you get more flesh off, I'm talking spiritually, if you get more flesh, more selfishness off, then what are you going to be walking more in? More in love. More in selflessness. It's not about me. I'm doing the will of my Father. I'm doing the will of my Lord. It's for him. It's by him, for him, through him, in him. It's all because I am in him. That's why I do what I do. It's what motivates me to do what I do in life. And so it's only causing us to grow up. So we've got to go to work with the right attitude. We want to go to work and we want to work hard at what we do. Because what we do isn't just for temporal things. It's because of love. Because of love, we give it our all. How many people know love is passionate? Come on. Love is passionate. Love is intense. Love isn't half-hearted. Love is wholehearted. Wholehearted, committed. That's love. So when we work, how do we work? Well, we're supposed to work as unto the Lord, right? We work as unto him. And as we work as unto him, the love of our life, we're passionate about our work. We're intense. We want to do the best job. Because it's not just for Boss Charlie. It's for Jesus. It's for Jesus. Huh? And we're not doing it alone. We're doing it with Jesus. He's with us. See, he wants to be partners with us in life. Partners. Partners. So if you're working day after day next to somebody, there's a good chance you're going to get to know them pretty well. You know? You got to drive around, do errands and things like that. And he's there in the car with you all the time. He's working with you. And there you are working, and you're working hard, but the Lord's right there with you. And he helps you. And he refreshes you. And he strengthens you in what you're doing. What's happening while you're working? You're working with him, so you're getting closer to him. You're growing in your relationship with him, growing in your relationship with love. So work is causing us to just fall more in love with him. And then those moments come, you know, that are contrary to our flesh. And when selfishness rises up, the Lord puts his hand on us and says, it's going to be all right. I got you. It is well. I'm here. Oh, okay. He reminds you, I'm here. I'm here. I've shared that story before, but it just fits too perfect for me not to share it again. When we first started the church, we were over in the Blairwood Country Club, you know. And we were there, and we were trying to set up the room one morning. And it was supposed to be all set up when we get there, you know, but it hardly ever was. And sometimes you walked in there, and there was liquor bottles, and there was all kinds of stuff lying around. And so, you know, I'm thinking, oh, we got to get this room set up, you know, and get ready for the masses of people that are coming. And so there's these walls you got to pull out, you know, and separate it from other people out there and all the noise. And so I'm trying to get this wall, and the wall's jammed, and, like, everything's going wrong that morning, you know. And I'm thinking, I got it. Man, I want to be ready to preach the word. I don't need this. So I got my eyes on all this work and all this stuff that's not the way it's supposed to be, and I'm getting frustrated, getting concerned about messing up the service because I'm not going to be ready. And then my little nephew was there, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon him. And the wall was jammed, and he walked up to me, and he said, Stephen, little guy. He's a little guy. Stephen. I said, what? And I looked at him, and he looked at me and said, I love you. It was Jesus. It wasn't my little nephew. It was Jesus. My little nephew wouldn't have said something like that. Stephen, I love you. I was done. I said, he loves me. He loves me. If he loves me, who cares about the wall? Who cares about all this stuff? And I was just able to relax, and we did what we did, and, you know, it just all went as it needed to go. I was able to relax and rest because of the reality that, Stephen, I love you. And isn't that what this is all about? Isn't that what we're working for? It's all about that. And if I got that, I'm good. So whatever, you know, you might be sweating, you might be really going through stuff, but you just got to remind yourself, Jesus loves me. God loves me. God loves me. I'm good. Because his love is so fulfilling. His love satisfies. I said his love satisfies. So it causes us to have a good work ethic, doesn't it? Love does. Love does. If we're being motivated and led by love, then we're going to work hard. We're going to work passionately. We're going to be diligent at our work. And not find ourselves having to be driven and pushed to work. If we're motivated by love, man, we've got some motivation. And we will work hard. Right? We'll put our best foot forward. But if your motivation isn't love, you could grow weary. A lot of folks, they don't want to go to work. It's hard getting up in the morning. They dread it. Most people, they dread it. Got to go to work. That's how they talk. I got to go to work. Man, I need some time off. I'm drained. I'm worn out. This job is killing me. I wouldn't say that if I were you. But that's how people talk, isn't it? I hate this job. Oh, man, I'm just so tired. I wish I could just stay in bed all day today. That's how people talk. But they have to go to work. See, they don't want to. They have to go to work. They're a slave, not a servant. Slaves have to do things, don't they? Slaves have to do things. Servants do things for the one they're serving. And we're not just serving man. We're serving him. We're serving God. And that's motivating. Because we're not serving him legalistically. We're serving him affectionately. I mean, we're legalistic in the fact that, yes, we get up and we go, whether we feel like it or not. But we also put our souls into it, and we affectionately stir ourselves up. We stir ourselves up emotionally to do the work that we do. Because we love him, and we serve him, therefore, with all our heart and soul and yeah, it's everything. So everything gets involved in this. So it's not just mechanical. It is mechanical. We're dependable. We're predictable. The boss knows you're going to be there. Your customers know you're going to be there. Why? Because you are predictable. You are mechanical, just like love. But you're also emotional. You're passionate. You're affectionate in what you do. Because you do it as unto him, and by him, through him, in him. Can you say amen? Amen? But again, most people aren't diligently working. They're just demonically driven. Demonically driven. Demonically driven. See, when you have that attitude, I have to go to work, you're just being driven. And what's driving you? It isn't God. It isn't love. Love doesn't drive. The Lord's my shepherd. Shepherds don't drive. They lead, right? He leads the way, and we go after him. We go after him. We're not being driven. So if you're being driven to work, and driven to make money, and driven to go, you are being demonically inspired day after day. I hope you're having fun. Who would have thought it was sin? That bad attitude. A lot of folks didn't know it. They didn't willfully sin. They were ignorant. They didn't hear this message. Thank God you're hearing it. Now you can be delivered. Oh, hallelujah. And get yourself stirred up. Say, whoo, Jesus is here. He's my motivation. Man, I live alone. I don't clean my house. Nobody's going to see it anywhere. Jesus does. Jesus does. You know, there's actually a scripture in the Old Testament. I think it's in Leviticus. Where it talks about that when the children of Israel, if they needed a restroom, because they were out in a desert, they're out in a wilderness, it says that they were to take some kind of shovel or something and go out of the camp and go out to a designated area and take care of business and not just to make a mess, around the camp. And it says, because the Lord your God walks in your midst. Does God care about things like that? Apparently he does. He didn't say just do it because it's good hygiene. He said you do it because the Lord your God walks in your midst. God's coming over your house tonight. Is it ready? The house, is it ready? The Lord our God walks in our midst. It's a good reason to take the garbage out tonight. That's a good reason right there. It's a good reason to get that week old banana peel off your counter. You might want to start with the Big Mac container in the back seat of your car from 2 weeks ago. I might be talking to somebody. I don't know. The Lord knows. He wants your back seat clean, apparently. We work hard for him. We do as unto him. Are you with me? We do what we do in love. The Lord is with us. The Lord's in my house. The Lord's in my car. He's what motivates me. He's what gets me up. He's what gets me moving. So are you working or are you slaving? Sinners have a slave mentality. Because Jesus said, he who sins is a slave of sin. So sinners are slaves. We shouldn't be talking and acting and walking like slaves. We've been redeemed. We've been set free. So we're not going to be like slaves driven to do anything. We're motivated by love. We do what we do out of love. We're where we're supposed to be, doing what we're supposed to do, and we're working hard at it, putting a lot of passion into it because of our love for God. It makes us the best workers out there. Proverbs 16:26 says, the person who labors, labors for himself, for his hungry mouth drives him on. Do you want to be driven? Who are folks that are driven? I have to go to work. That's a driven person. If that's you, you've just been identified. And why are you driven? Because your hungry mouth drives you, and you are laboring for yourself. It's getting really slow and quiet in here. Am I going too far with this? Do I need to back off? Some of you look at me like, can you back off now? I really slipped on that banana peel. Can we? That really messed me up. I lost some of you. You slipped right out of here. Spiritually, you know. Spiritually. Oh, that banana peel. Oh, yeah, Jesus. And you left. Left me preaching all by myself. If you're laboring for yourself, you're going to find yourself being driven. So we're not going to have that. Proverbs 27:22 says, though you grind a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. And when you look up the word fool, it talks about someone that despises wisdom, a mocker, but it also infers an undisciplined person, a licentious, lawless, undisciplined person as well. So an undisciplined person, a fool, It's just no matter what kind of work he does, he doesn't get any better. He doesn't change for the good. A person with a slave mentality doesn't change when he works. But a servant grows and is transformed because of love. Because of love. Love will transform and change you. It'll change you. Love will change you. If you're doing what you're doing in love, it's changing you. It's making you better. It's making you less selfish. You're growing in your relationship with God. But if you're just working for yourself, you'll just work and work and work, and you won't get any better. Listen, your job should be making you better, not just making you money. Your job should be making you better, not just making you money. And how do we get that? How do we make that happen? Stop serving yourself and start serving the Lord out of love. And when you serve out of love, it's going to change you and cause everything you do to grow you up spiritually and make you a more loving person and become a greater lover of God, which is what you were created for. Can you say amen? Amen. But keep serving yourself, keep working for yourself and for the food and all these things, you're not going to get any better. You might get some more money, but that doesn't make you any better. More money will not fulfill you. That is not what will fulfill, and we're living to be fulfilled with the love of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah! Come on, stand up and give God a shout in this place tonight if you love Him.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.